is on. There's not much talking between two buggeroos. Good buds and platters, the big game playing. But one of us must choose. And the ball's in the end zone, and we're high as the ozone. Our kisses sign the deal.
Dang. Some days can be really tough to trot, and I will admit this. Even as a longtime buckaroo myself, and the world's greatest author named Chuck, the ways of the void have tentacles everywhere, reaching into timelines and spreading around their ooze. Sometimes it feels like this timeline is headed straight into heckin' darkness, where nobody will find it. I understand thinking this way, but I do not believe it. As a man named Chuck, I can say that I believe in a positive future for this timeline and others like it. A future where the cracks in the void get filled with love and joy and buckaroos trot playfully with their heads held high. Of course, this is slightly unfair as a timeline traveling man, because I've skipped to the end and I will admit that I took a peek to see where it ended up. Guess what, buddy? Everything's okay, don't you worry. But just because I have seen this future way, it doesn't mean that everyone can just listen in and say, "Whoa, buckaroo, I trust this optimistic way." So I understand that as world's greatest author, it might take a little convincing sometimes, and that's okay. So I will explain the power of love, because this is the most powerful energy in all timelines. I have been to all kinds of timelines, and some are very scary. Some of them have handsome Frankensteins, but some of them are covered in Frankensteins that are scary as heck, wandering around and moaning about their stitches itching. Some timelines there's no such thing as dang football, which means no handsome football buds, not even handsome Rubble Wilson. And some timelines there's only Tom's Brad, quarterback of Paul and the Revere's in every position. Oh no! Now, I will admit, this is a very handsome timeline, but also I'm sometimes doubtful of Tom's way. And also, it is nice when there is more than one player. But even on these scary timelines, there is one thing that is always true. Love is real. How dang crazy is that? There are infinite timelines with infinite variables, all kinds of ways that we cannot even think of until we see them with our own eyes. But this is one thing that is always the same. In fact, even though there is nothing in the void but darkness and lonesome ways, love can still survive when you bring it in. This is so important and powerful. Wow. But I am just world's greatest author named Chuck, so it is okay to have your doubts. Sometimes just explaining these things as a technical man is not enough. Like Channing Tatum in a science robe, pouring potion into another potion and then pouring that into his butt, or maybe building a handsome robot to do that for him. Sometimes an artistic way will explain things better than any kind of talk between buds. This is why I have written an important tale named of My Bud is Comforted by the Realization that I'm okay and everything will be alright, which is the subject of today's show. So thankful to have buckaroo name of Dearest Scooter, aka Drew Ackerman, here to read with us and show that you will be okay, and so will I. We all will actually be okay. I believe in us and I believe in love. Now listen up, buckaroos, and take a deep breath. It's heckin' good for you.
This is Dear Scooter, and I'm reading My Butt is Comforted by the Realization that I'm Okay and Everything Will Be All Right by Chuck Tingle. I can't believe you're really doing it, my friend Largo says, staring out across the ocean from our comfortable spot on a wooden park bench. The seat below us feels firm and comforting. This dry land more stable than anything I expect to feel for the next few weeks on water. I'm really doing it, I assure my friend, turning to face him so he can see the seriousness in my eyes. I know you think I'm crazy. I know everyone thinks I'm crazy. But I just can't take it anymore. I need to get out of here. I wouldn't be surprised if Largo started to laugh at me, but instead he just nods in begrudging acceptance. Things change quickly these days, and even the most optimistic of my friends are starting to find themselves worn down by the constant barrage of terrifying news, both home and abroad. Human existence has always been hard, but lately, it seems like the world is doing everything it can to make things even harder. The environment is falling apart, and there might not be a way to fix it. The economy looms dangerously close to a full-on collapse, and don't even get me started on politics. Seems like every single day, there's something else to stress of. It seems like every single day there's something else to stress about, like my inability to pronunciate words. And finally, it all just became too much for me. Too much for me. Fuck. It seems like every single day there's something else to stress about. And finally, it all became just too much for me to deal with. In a moment of frustration, I took everything I owned and sold it all. That money was put towards buying a small island off the coast of California. An outcropping of rocks so barren and unusable that even I was able to afford it. I've been told the possibility of development. I've been told the possibility of development on the island is slim to none, and the power of running water is completely impossible. But at least I'll be away from all this stress, anxiety, and chaos that makes up our modern world. Out there, away from the mainland, I'll finally be completely alone. I'll miss you, buddy, Largo tells me as if reading my mind. Deep down, a twisted part of me wishes mankind was even worse off, so that it wouldn't be so hard for me to leave. I know setting sail is the right thing to do, but it's been difficult saying goodbye to my friends and family. Right now, Largo is the only one left. I'll miss you too, I inform him, but I gotta get out of here. My world has gone to hell and there's no turning it around. My friend smirks a bit. It's not so bad. Not so bad, I counter. Not so bad, I counter, raising my voice more than I intended. Did you watch the news today? Did you see what's happening with global warming? Do you have any idea what the president is doing? We're on the verge of another world war. Largo raises his hand in submission. Okay, okay. I understand what you're saying. It's hard to deal with, but it's not all bad. I lift a single eyebrow. Tell me one good thing in the world right now. Friendship, Largo replies. I let out a long sigh. You can come with me, I tell him. There's enough room on the island for two, and the boat has plenty of food to make the trip. Largo scoffs. I've seen pictures of your island. No thanks, Churn. I nod in acceptance. For a while, my friend and I sit in silence, enjoying the peaceful motion of the waves before us as they pulse gently across the beachfront. It's a beautiful scene, yet I still can't get the nagging feeling out of the back of my mind that something is wrong, that the world could just end at any moment and there'd be nothing I could do to stop it. My mind begins in a place of comfort and then moves out from there, venturing further and further into thoughts regarding my insignificance in the universe and what it all means to be alive. I start to think about the immense size of time and sweat forms across my forehead. I need to get out of here, I think, again, out into the ocean, where none of the stress or anxiety can find me. You're all right, Largo interjects, breaking through my thoughts. I nod. It's time to set sail. Come on down to the dock and see me off. I stand up and start heading towards the beach, Largo following closely behind. There's a dock nearby where my sailboat has been tied. A modest vessel, but large enough to comfortably get me where I'm going. There's enough supplies loaded up onto the ship so I can construct a small hut when I arrive, and enough food to last me the few weeks until I get my fishing and agricultural situation sorted out. Eventually, my friend and I arrive at the dock, strolling down its wooden planks as the sea breeze flickers across our skin. For a moment, I feel a minor twinge of relaxation. Hopefully, this is a sign of more to come. Everyone at work wanted me to tell you goodbye, Largo offers as we stand by the side of my boat. I can tell he's holding something back, not giving me the full story. Oh yeah, I question. Yeah, well, they said that. They also wanted me to tell you not to leave. I figured I'd just skip that part because you're not going to listen. The words are kind, but the simple mention of work makes me shudder with nervous tension down the length of my spine. Okay then, I say, giving awkward a Largo hug. What's a Largo hug like? Okay, I finally say, offering Largo an awkward hug. The two of us embrace for a moment and then pull away. Until next time, Largo replies with a slight wave. I untie the ropes and climb into my boat, casting off. We both know there may never be a next time, but we pretend convincingly nonetheless. Now I'm drifting farther and farther away from the shore, and while I expect my anxieties are about to go fucking shit, my mouth is like full of marbles. Now I'm drifting further and further away from the shore, and while I expect my anxieties regarding the modern world to drift away as well, they appear to stay exactly where they started. Give it time, I think to myself. I set a course for my tiny island and then watch the seemingly endless horizon before me, happy to be on my way. Behind, Largo continues to wave until he's nothing more than a tiny pinpoint in the distance. Taking a deep breath, the sea air filling my lungs with a natural sense of It's dyslexia at its finest here for me. Nothing better than a fake deep breath. I take in a deep breath, the sea air filling my lungs with a natural sense of rejuvenation. Out here, none of my thoughts and worries will be able to find me. Out here, it's just me and the ocean, not another soul for miles and miles. I begin to hum a song, just making it up as I go while the ship drifts onward, every second taking me further and further from the mainland, from economic collapse or nuclear annihilation. Or nuclear annihilation, whichever one I decide to pronounce. Soon, the minutes turn into hours. The sun moving further and further across the sky until eventually it begins its descent towards the horizon line, changing the color of the surrounding blue to a blossoming red and violet. It's a beautiful sight, but in this moment of wonder, I can't help but noticing something strange in the water. I rub my eyes and look again, trying to make out the shape that bobs gently in the waves some 40 yards off the front of my boat. I'm miles and miles from land in any direction, but it's quite possible this could be nothing more than a floating log. Still, there's something about the object that gives me pause. An unusual... So funny, now that I've heard... This is a part of the story that cracks me up. It's okay. Still, there's something about the object that gives me pause, an unusual angularity that seems nothing short of unnatural. Closer and closer I get, till I'm right upon the object, looking down over the side of the boat with great concern. "Hey there," comes a relaxed voice. The figure in the water is now in full view, revealing himself to be the word "Okay," in huge, well-defined letters. The word is wearing a pair of sunglasses and sipping on a tall glass of chocolate milk as he lays out in an inner tube, half submerged in the icy waters of the deep, deep ocean. Oh my God, I stammer. Are you okay? How long have you been out here? "I'm great," the word says with a smile. "It's you I'm curious about." I narrow my eyes with great concern. What are you saying? I'm safe on this boat and you're floating out here in the middle of the ocean. "Everything's fine," the word informs me. He takes a long sip from his chocolate milk. The living collection of letters savors his taste of the cool liquid, closing his eyes and drinking till the entire glass is drained. "So you're just relaxing?" I question, still completely taken off guard. The word nods. "I sure am." By now, my boat has floated over close enough to the inner tube for the word to grab a hold, which he does. Carefully, the sentient word climbs up into my boat, gently finding a place to set his glass, and then sitting casually on the edge. He removes his sunglasses. "My name is Cortine James," offers the word. "I'm here to comfort you." I laugh. I'm already comfortable, I inform him. I'm more comfortable than I've been in a long, long time. especially given the fact the ozone layer is depleting, the world economy is about to crash, and war is on the horizon. All right, fair enough, Cortine says soothingly. I just wanted to let you know you're going to be okay. You have the power to keep plowing ahead and to be part of the change you seek, especially if you turn around and refuse to run from your own personal problems. Me, I retort, yeah, right. It's true. You're perfectly capable of overcoming the odds in your daily life and maybe even changing the world if you continue to lead by example. There's something just a little too preachy about the message that Cortine is sending my way, and my eyes instinctively narrow in response. Who are you really, I ask. Cortine, the word replies. I'm the living manifestation of the realization that you're okay and everything will be all right. I throw my hands up in the air, brimming with frustration. I knew it, I blurt. Did Largo send you, or was it someone from work? Cortine shakes his head. You manifested me, he explains. Nobody else. I take in a deep breath and let out a long sigh, wondering how to approach this. You're not making me feel any more relaxed. You're actually kind of freaking me out because I've got this island to get to before the world ends. The world's not going to end. Not yet, anyway, Cortine counters. And besides, what's the point of worrying about that? If you want to fight for what you believe in, then that's one thing. But worrying and fretting is not fighting. I'm not just worrying. I'm leaving, I explain. Even worse, Cortine counters. I shrug. Well, if you don't like it, you could get off my boat. Cortine nods and then rolls back off of the ledge and hits the icy water with a loud splash. The manifestation of the realization that I'm okay and everything will be all right starts to float away, smiling and waving as he goes. I shake my head, frustrated by the optimism of this unusual being. Not only was Cortine annoying, he was slowing me down. I collect myself and refocus on the horizon before me, trying to push away any thoughts regarding the sentient concept floating by himself out in the great wide ocean. Unfortunately, this is much more difficult of a task than I would have thought. My worry is getting the best of me. Once more, I'm concerned Cortine will starve to death out here in the waves. The living word might be fine with this situation, but I'm not. I roll my eyes and then swiftly adjust course, turning the boat around and eventually returning to the spot where Cortine rolled overboard. The living okay is still just floating in the water, happy as can be, after somehow finding his inner tube once again. You ready to listen? Cortine asks. Are you ready to listen? I counter. Cortine shrugs. The next few minutes, me and the living manifestation of the realization that I'm okay and everything will be all right have a silent standoff. Neither one of us willing to move the conversation forward. Waves, 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 waves. Awkward silence song. Finally, I crack. Get in, I say. Cortine smiles and climbs back into the boat once more, patting me enthusiastically on the back with his cold, wet hand and causing me to wince. See, the word shouts excitedly. You still some hope left in you. I shake my head. Don't regret me saving you. Don't regret me. I shake my head. Don't make me regret saving you. Cortine chuckles. That's creepy. Cortine. You didn't save me. Because everything is going to be just fine. You would have drowned, I inform him. Nah, you came along, Cortine retorts. But what if I didn't? I yell in frustration. The living manifestation of the realization that I'm okay and everything will be all right shrugs. Sure, something bad might have happened, but would I have been much better off worrying about it? You'd still come by to pick me up either way. If I was worried, I might have started splashing about and sunk down in the water. I suppose he's right, but I say nothing in return. When people drown, it's because they usually panic, explains Cortine. Floating is really easy. we naturally do it, but when you're worried, you start to thrash about in the water. Fine, I get it. Do you really? Asked the living collection of letters. I mean, yeah, I get the drowning thing. You're right, I admit. Cortine smiles. What about the fact you're going to be okay? Do you get that? I shake my head. That's fine. The living manifestation of the realization I'm okay and everything will be all right says, it's okay to be frustrated and anxious and confused, but it's also okay to take a moment and remind yourself that you're probably going to be just fine, that the world gets bad, and when it does, it can get really, really bad. But for the most part, things are moving in a pretty good direction overall, because at the end of the day, love always wins. I hate to admit it, but this optimistic manifestation is actually making a lot of sense right now. So it's okay for me to worry, but it's also okay for me not to worry? I ask him a little confused. It's all okay, Cortine tells me, stepping towards me slightly. It's all going to be fine. The living word opens his arms wide and wraps me tightly in his welcome embrace. What had once seemed cold and frigid is now warm and inviting, filling me with a sense of comfort I hadn't felt in years. I realize now that while the future is still unknowable, I'm currently okay. Worrying's not going to do me any favors without positive action behind it. Everything's fine, Cortine says. I nod in acceptance. The longer the living manifestation of the realization that I'm okay and everything will be right holds me here, however, the more this comfort turns into something even more powerful, a potent emotion slowly seeping its way through my veins. I suddenly gasp aloud when I realize arousal has overwhelmed me, causing my cock to stiffen up against Cortine's leg. Everything's fine, Cortine repeats. I know it is, I finally accept. I just don't want to leave this world. I want to be an even bigger part of it. I want to go back and I want to keep fighting for love. That sounds really nice, the manifested concept reply. That gets me every time. That sounds really nice, the manifested concept replies soothingly. No more island? No more island, I confirm with a nod. I reach over, still entwined in our long, drawn-out hug, and I grab the wheel of the boat, turning us around and heading back towards the shore. I think I'd like to celebrate, I finally tell Cortine, biting my lip playfully. Sure, there's some bad stuff in life, but there's also some really great stuff, too. Like what? The living manifestation of the realization I'm okay and everything will be... This is so good. Like what is the living manifestation of the realization that I'm okay? Like, I can't even say it. I messed up seductively. Like what? The living manifestation of the realization that I'm okay and everything will be all right asks seductively. I'll show you, I tell him. Then I slowly begin to slide down the front of his chest. Lower and lower I drop until I'm kneeling before Cortine, gazing up at him with lustful eyes. I reach up and grab a hold of his massive dick, which has just slowly been growing out of between the letters K and I. I reach and grab a hold of his massive dick, which has been growing out from somewhere between the letters K and A. Oh, fuck, Cortine groans as I wrap my hand tightly around his enormous shaft. The physically manifested word leans his head back and lets the words fall out of his mouth in one long, graceful call, echoing across the desolate ocean around us. I get to work, pumping my fist up and down across the living concept's length, slowly at first and then gaining intensity as I cradle his balls with my other fingers. Faster and faster I go until eventually the moments evolve into a frantic handjob, beating Cortine off with all the enthusiasm I can muster. Eventually, driven mad with lust, I open my mouth wide and take the living manifestation of the realization that I'm okay and everything will be all right shaft between my lips, pumping my head up and down across him with the same excitement as the handjob before it. I'm lost in a sea of gay passion, belligerently sucking as Courtine's abs clench tight above me. After a while, I focus my energy and push myself down as far as I can go across Courtine's shaft, fully impaling my face on his rod. The thick cock slides deep. Clock. The thick cock slides deep into my throat, well past the limits of my gag reflex, until eventually my lips come to a rest, pressed hard against Courtine's rock-hard abs. I stay here for as long as I can, and then finally pull back in a sputtering gasp of air, my spit covering Courtine's dick in a glistening wet mess. Pound me, I demand. This ass needs a reminder of what fun the world can be, even when it's completely and terribly fucked up sometimes. I stand up and walk over to the edge of the boat, bracing myself against the side railing and popping my butt out towards Courtine. I wiggle my rump from side to side, coaxing the optimistic concept forward. Courtine steps up behind me, brandishing his massive cock in his hands and smiling wide. The living manifestation of the realization that I'm okay and everything will be all right aligns his dick with my tightly puckered asshole, teasing the rim a little bit while I push back against him. Do it, I beg. Pound me up the fucking asshole right now. Courtine finally gives in and slides deep with a long, powerful swoop. Despite my pleading, I was not quite ready for the living word's enormity, his girthy dick immediately stretching my asshole well beyond anything it had previously experienced. Fortunately, my spit still serves as decent lube, making the insertion slightly easier than it could have been. He's still a lot to take, though. Courtine starts slowly at first, being a gentleman and allowing me time to adjust to his incredible size. I grip onto the rail before me, fingers digging in tight as I close my eyes and struggle to relax. I'm completely maxed out, stretched to the limits and threatening to break at any moment. Fortunately, that moment never comes. Instead, Courtine's pulse within me begins to make the aching discomfort melt away, slowly but surely changing the powerful emotions that swim through my body. The awkward sensations eventually disappear completely, replaced by a pleasurable warmth that radiates out from the pit of my stomach. Oh my god, oh my fucking god, I stammer, my entire body trembling hard as these feelings course through it. Courtine picks up his pace, hammering me harder and harder now, until he finds a steady rhythm within my butthole. Soon enough, the two of us are moving together in perfect sync, a single sexual unit in a feedback loop of pleasure. Eventually, Courtine pulls out of me and spins me around, grabbing me around the waist with his muscular arms and lifting me up so that I'm sitting perched on the side of the boat's railing. There's just enough room for me to sit, leaning back as I wrap my hands around the back of Courtine's neck. I spread my legs out wide, exposing myself to the living concept and allowing him an even deeper angle of my aching asshole. The manifestation of the living realization that I'm okay and everything will be alright picks right up where he left off, slamming into me with a force that is ruthless, yet somehow incredibly comforting. Sure, this moment of erotic gay passion is wild, but there's also something about it that soothes me to my very core. My legs bounce wildly in the air with every slam, and my cock follows suit, flailing uncontrollably until I grab onto it tight with a confident grip. I begin to beat myself off, pumping my fingers in time with powerful thrusts up my butthole. It doesn't take long for the orgasmic sensations within me to bubble up to the forefront, consuming my thoughts with a pleasant ache and a desire to come harder than I ever have before. You're so fucking good, I moan, throwing my head back. I'm gonna fucking come. Me too, announces Courtine, expertly pacing himself. Suddenly, the lustful sensations ripped through me, causing every muscle in my body to hold tight and then relax in a quake of ecstasy. I'm completely overwhelmed with pleasure, unable to do anything but ride the feelings like a wave. I give myself over to these sensations as cum ejects hard from the head of my shaft, shooting up into the air, and then splattering back down across my bare stomach. Oh, fuck. The living manifestation of the realization that I'm okay and everything will be alright moans, blasting his enormous payload of jizz up my ass. I could feel him filling my rectal depths with rope after rope of sticky cum, a seemingly never-ending torrent that eventually spills out from my plugged anal rim and runs down my crack, dripping onto the boat floor below. When the orgasms finally pass, Cortine pulls out of me, his spunk cascading after. "That was fucking amazing," he tells me. "It sure was," I agree. "I guess there's still butt pounding in the world, so things aren't so bad. There's also boats and water and islands," continues the living cons. "There's also boats and water and islands," continues the living concept. "There's your friends back at work and beautiful sunsets and conquering your fears," I offer with a smirk. I slow the boat to a stop and shut off the motor, and then I walk over to the edge. I dive in, letting the cold water brush over me. When my head bursts out of the water, I'm frigid and sputtering, but I feel alive. "Damn, that's cold," I yell back to Cortine. "But it's fun, right?" he offers. I nod. The living manifestation that I'm okay and everything will be all right stands up on the rail and dives in after me, swimming over and kissing me hard on the lips. "There's so much to experience out there, bad and good," he says, pulling away for a moment. "Fight for what's right, but don't give up. And don't lose touch with the fact that right now, in this moment, you're okay." "I'm okay," I repeat to him before our lips meet in the cool, salty waves.
Wow, that was a very reassuring way. I think that sometimes it is easy to get overwhelmed by the world, and that makes sense. It happens to everyone, that's okay, bud. And sometimes bad things happen. That's just the way the cookies crumble. But it is okay to sometimes take a break and tell yourself that you'll be okay. And maybe find a bud and tell them the same thing as you hug and enjoy a moment together. This moment of listening and our connection on this timeline has proved love to me. So thank you so much for that. Now keep on trouting, buckaroos, because love is real!
Hello, ladybucks and buckaroos. We've had so much fun presenting the first batch of Dr. Chuck Tingle's Pounded in the Butt by My Own podcast. We'll be taking a short break, but we'll return with new episodes later this fall. In the meantime, you can help our show by sharing it with your friends, subscribing, and rating it in the store of your choosing. Pounded in the Butt by My Own podcast is a Night Vale Presents production, written and hosted by Dr. Chuck Tingle. Our editor is Grant Stewart. Our sound designer, mixer, and composer is Vincent Cascione. Our producer is Christy Gressman. Our assistant producer is Adam Cecil. The theme song is called Proving Love is Real, and it was covered this week by Jonathan Mann. Stay tuned after the credits for the full original version of the theme song by Caged Animals, which is now available to stream or purchase wherever you get your music. The show's logo was created by Chuck Tingle, and we owe a very special thank you to Joseph Fink. This episode was narrated by Drew Ackerman, also known as Dearest Scooter, from the podcast Sleep With Me. You can get the book, My Butt is Comforted by the Realization that I'm Okay and Everything Will Be All Right, and many other classic Tinglers on Amazon or at chucktingle.com. For more information, go to poundedinthebuttbymyownpodcast.com. Remember to subscribe wherever you like listening to podcasts, and thanks for listening.
takes off flavors to show our neighbors, proving love from the heart. We hit the streets out in the town of devils, two angels on the moon. Our hands so tight we almost broke some vessels with all that.
Adventures in New America is the first sci-fi, political satire, Afro-futuristic buddy comedy, serialized for new Americans in a new and desperate time. Intrigued? Good. Find Adventures in New America wherever you listen to podcasts.
From PRX.